This is a Pinball News production.
Thank you very much, Rob, for having us. Hi, everybody. How is everyone today? Excellent. Thank you very much for coming along to our seminar today. We've got quite a bit of news to tell you, actually. First of all, can I just check how many people were here at the seminar we did last year? Okay, so it's probably about 50-50. So we've come along a long way in the last 12 months, and we've got a lot of news to tell you about today and a couple of exclusive announcements for you as well. So to get everything started, but just before I start, I'd just like to introduce the team. My name, obviously, is Andrew Harvey. I am the CEO. I have Roman Fontaine here, who is our technical director. I have Brian Dominey, who is our chief software engineer and programmer. We have Janos Kiss, who's also our software programmer and organizer. He does a lot of other parts as well within the company. And then, of course, the man who doesn't need any introduction at all, of course, is world-famous pinball designer Dennis Nordman. So just have a round of applause for my team, please, guys. So to get started then.
To be the best takes skill, commitment, determination. To be the best, you must be prepared to go full throttle.
You think you can beat me? Don't make me laugh.
There we go, and as you can see over there, we have our game Full Throttle with us, which is fully working. It's about 85% there on code and development. This is still a prototype cabinet, but our latest one is about to be produced as well. So we're only probably about 4 weeks or so away from completion of our game, and then we're looking and moving forwards towards production, which we're hoping is going to be around early to middle of December. So during the presentation, just like to run through what we're going to be doing. I'm going to give a talk, first of all, about where we've come in the last year, a lot of the developments for you. Then we're going to go into some more information about Full Throttle as well. Then I'm going to hand over to both Brian Dominey and Janos Kiss. They're going to talk about software development on Full Throttle and on our games. Then I'll hand over to Roman, who will tell you a little bit about electronics development within our games as well. Then finally, we're going to announce what our game number two is going to be, which is scheduled for April 2015 release. And we'll have a short Q&A at the end. And we'd like everybody here to walk away with something. So we've got some merchandising and so on for you. So we've got some mugs, we've got some T-shirts and a few other bits and pieces. So and some flyers too. So if anybody would like to come up after the presentation, we'd be happy to give you some stuff to go away with. So to move forward, has anybody heard about something we may have been involved in at the start of this year to do with the production? Is anybody familiar with this? Well, we had... over there. What can you tell me? Absolutely, yes. Basically, towards around the middle of last year, we were approached by a major global brand to basically make a pinball-related product. Now, We gave them a sort of a development budget, how much it would take to put this thing together for them. Their timeframes were very short. Had to be finished by May 2014 this year. So we put this £15,000 development budget, what it was, and they basically went with somebody else, which obviously wasn't very good from our side of things. Maybe they thought we were a bit too expensive. However, before Christmas, they came back to us and said the company they'd used, they weren't happy at all with, and they weren't confident they were going to be able to deliver on time, and they were sorry they turned us down before, and could we please do something for them? So we started some fairly intensive discussions with them, and basically, their own procurement department told them it was going to take 9 months to be able to design, build, and deliver this pinball-related product. In any case, we did it in 4.5 months. So we actually now, this is one of our exclusive announcements, we're going to reveal who this company was, or is, or was. As you can see, Bacardi, the largest privately owned drinks company in the world. And the challenge was to design a game which was based around a 1930s baffle ball game to be used as a promotional product all around the world. So this is a global product, and they wanted 251 games, and they wanted it in 4.5 months. So we started a very intensive development program, and we can't tell you too much about this at the moment because there's only so much information we can reveal. Martin over at Pinball News is going to be doing a reveal in the coming months and go into a lot of detail about the game and so on. But you can see the game here next to our production line. You can see our production line in full swing here. Out of those 251 games, funny enough, we had to do 100 of those games in only a week. And bear in mind, we'd never done any production of any sort before. We had to do all the planning. We had to get everything together, source the materials. And basically, it's very much like going into pinball production, so full pinball production. So it was a very good learning curve for us. Again, more pictures on our production line. As you can see, many, many, these are the back boxes, which are LED-powered back boxes. You can see many cabinets on pallets waiting to be packed up, and boxes ready to go out and onto their customers. As I said, these shipped all around the world. In actual fact, 140 of these out of the 251 came to the USA. So it's quite a major campaign by Bacardi all around the USA. Okay, moving on then. This is our factory in Merthyr Tydfil in South Wales. Now, this is 14,000 square feet. And as you can see, back to the production line, you can see the rough size of the factory here. Now, this is one of our exclusive announcements that we'll come here to talk to you about today. We've just signed a lease for a new factory with 41,000 square feet, three times the size, in order to meet the demands of production that's going to be coming up in the next year. You can see the empty building at the moment here. Literally, here I am taking over the keys to the premises. And this was actually only on Monday. So it was this week that we signed the lease. And so over the coming weeks, we're going to have to start doing a move. But luckily, the move is only about 20 metres away from where our factory is at the moment. So if you hear about forklifts going between buildings in Merthyr Tydfil in the middle of the night, that's us. Another bit of news that's happened to us recently, and this was about 3 weeks ago, is our local community basically acknowledged the work that we're doing and awarded us with the most innovative business in the greater Merthyr Tydfil area where we're based. This is me collecting the award. This is myself with both Roman and Janos in the evening, a black tie evening. And so now we come on to Full Throttle. And I'd like to tell you about some changes then, since what you can actually see here on the cabinet incorporate. Well, the game here incorporates a lot of the changes we're talking about, but also things are happening on a daily basis. We have new parts arriving from China, from in South Wales, from the USA as well, new development parts. So it's a continual process until you get to the point where you actually say, right, this is a finished game. So one of the things we want to tell you about, and again, this is a lot of feedback. Some of you might have read on forums and so on, feedback from people who have played the game. Well, this was the prototype that actually went to my show, the UK Pinball Party, in August. Now, we knew that this was going to change anyway, but a lot of feedback we got from people was that it was uncomfortable on the hands, because what we have here is we have a glass magazine on top of the game, which you can see over here. There was a lockdown bar that fit on top of that, and it just felt uncomfortable, the hands, and pulled the hands, your fingers away from the flipper buttons as well. So what we have now, if we move to the next slide, please, is we have an audio design, and you can see the brand new magazine on our game over there. And it's all one piece. So the magazine is one piece, incorporating the glass. So it's much easier on the hands when you're playing the game. And what it means as well is you have one piece which you can change for different games. Now, as I'm sure a lot of you know, we will have limited edition versions of our games. Now, just to recap, our standard edition and our limited edition games basically play the same. They have the same software, they have the same playfield toys. It's just that the limited edition is a more exclusive, if you like. It may be with different lighting, shaker motor options, and so on. And what you can see here, as I said, is the whole magazine as one piece. So all the metal parts you see, and again, as progress from what you can see from the prototype here, is you'll see that the buttons, the flipper buttons and the front buttons, are on plates. And these plates are interchangeable. So when you have a new game unit from us, so if let's say somebody buys one game from us, then when the next title comes out, then you can interchange the game into the existing cabinet. And it's roughly a 10-minute job. Part of that process is, for example, Full Throttle has an auto-launch button. However, game number two has a plunger. with auto launch as well, which means that we also need to be able to provide that plunger. So by having these removable plates, it's part of the whole modularity ethos of what we're doing at Highway Pinball, which means that everything can be changed out and can be changed in a matter of minutes as well. So on the plate, as I say, the plunger will also be there as part of the add-on accessory for new game units. Now, this is something in particular we're very proud of. When we started this whole project 2.5-3 years ago, we had a number of challenges there, and you know, part of this whole process was to try to make a game which could be very user-friendly for operators on site, because we're trying to make pinball a mainstream activity again. We haven't targeted solely collectors. We've tried to develop a product which is very user-friendly for operators, because if you have a pinball product which is modern and fun, then new players can come. We'll actually want to play a game. This is our theory. And especially if it's something which has a lot of new technology in it as well. But of course, the thing is, a lot of operators think in their minds about pinball that it's a retroactivity. You know, the boom years of pinball, as far as sites are concerned, was back in the early 90s. And here we are now, roughly 20-odd years later, and a lot of operators still see pinball has been something from the past. You know, they think, oh yes, it used to make lots of money, but they were hard to repair, they were always going wrong. So when we started this project, we wanted to build a product which is going to be very friendly to operators, something that would be easy to service, something that could be reliable, and something where, you know, if a pinball machine goes down, then you can fix it in a matter of minutes, and then it's back up and running again. It's very easy. So what we have here is one of the bases that we started with is a pinball machine traditionally has about 800 meters of wiring. And we wanted to minimize this because a lot of the problems you get with pinball machines with wiring is wires can snag, they can break, you can have dry solder joints, and it can become a nightmare trying to diagnose a problem, like, because you see the spaghetti of wires everywhere, right, where do I start? What we have here is a machine which has gone from 800 meters of wiring to under 60 meters of wiring. Less than a tenth of what is normally in a pinball machine. And we're not even happy with that at the moment as well. We want to bring that down to maybe even 40 metres or less. So what you see here is underneath of our playfield. As you see, there's virtually no wiring. We've got a couple of close-ups here for you as well. So this is the top part of the playfield. And if we go to the bottom part of the playfield, you can see there's hardly any wires in there at all. Now, I'm sure many of you have seen from some of our YouTube videos, if you follow us on our YouTube channel, Francisco Valentino is the villain of our game Full Throttle. And basically, throughout the game, he taunts you and basically, you know, says you're a rubbish rider, and he challenges you to beat him. And so this is the model which we've gone and created. It's been professionally created. And basically, he's not on our prototype at the moment, but he's motorized, and he basically follows the view of the ball while he's taunting you. So now what I'd like to do is I'd like to hand you over to Brian and Janos, and they're going to talk a little bit about the software development at Highway Pinball.
Okay, thanks, Andrew. So we're going to do this together. I'm Brian. This is Janos. I don't have a British accent because I live in the United States. I've been working remotely and doing the software for Highway Pinball. This is my third year working with them, and it's been a very long process, but I'm very proud of where we're at right now, and it's been very rewarding. And Janos has been with the team for quite a while as well.
2 years now, almost.
Yes. So we just wanted to give you a little bit of a background on how the software is right now and you know, kind of what the process has been like in creating it for this game. Both of us are very much pinball people. We love playing games. We've been playing games out in the hall all weekend long. And you know, I think Janos is a pretty good player. So he.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, he's not going to say anything about me. So I mean, we do approach this from, you know, the perspective of trying to make a quality product, but also something that's really fun, and we want to make a top-notch game that people enjoy. Kind of the way we've broken up the responsibilities is into two pieces. Again, since we're not sitting right next to each other, we kind of have to divide the responsibilities up. So I've been working on kind of what we call the pinball program, or the pin prog, the basics of the rules and the lighting effects and kind of the integration of everything together. Janos has been working mostly on the video server, which is, you know, all of the videos and the animations and fonts and so forth. Am I forgetting anything?
No, that's all pretty much.
Yep. So we work pretty closely. We're 5 or 6 hours apart because of the time difference. So I get up every morning, first thing, open my laptop, He starts sending me instant messages at 7 a.m, you know, fix this, this doesn't work, this is broken, you know. So, you know, he's not only a great developer, but he's been a great tester and has really done a great job of helping us get to where we need to be. So we'll talk a little bit about, chime in here anytime you want to say something.
All right. Thank you, Brian. So 2 years ago when I joined Highway Pinball Team, I connected on Facebook to Andrew, and all in my life I was in pinball and I always wanted to work in the pinball business. And and Andrew selected me, and I'm thank you for it if I haven't said it to you. And we started to develop. Brian was before me, and the FreeWPC, what he developed, was already existed to us. So he started to modify it to our platform. And FreeWPC was designed for DMD, but we wanted to go on the LCD. So this is when I came on board, and I tried to design communication between PrimProg and my software. And a third guy named Russell is doing the animations and images and texts, and I implement them in the software and try to work out, Brian, how it should work and what time it should be called, when it should be stopped. So pretty much like in a DMD. Do you want to continue?
Yeah, sure. So I mean, the FreeWPC was some software that I had done many years ago to kind of, you know, put new life into older games. But that's very different from what we're doing here, I would say. I mean, I kind of looked at that and that was great experience. But to actually make a production quality game, you know, was just a lot more work. And plus, we were dealing with so much new technology, you know, animations and higher quality sounds, faster processors, the colored lamps. I mean, there's so much that we tried to do in game number one. And so, you know, that's what we've been doing for the last few years is all of those things. We wanted the first game to have all of that out of the box.
How we test our game? In the beginning, Brian is designed a simulation software for FreeWPC, what is running on my PC, connected to video server. And this is the safest way for me to testing, because I don't need to use high current. I just pressing on my keyboard to triggering switches, and it's pretty much working, and it's so easy for me to find bugs in a rule set or even in the code. So I can't screw up anything in the pinball. I just restart my PC if something goes wrong, and I continue.
Yeah, I mean, that was critical, because with me not having a game physically in front of me the entire time, because I'm here and there over there, you know, we needed a way for me to test things out before I handed it over to the rest of the team and know that it was basically going to work right. So I spent, you know, half of my time developing the simulator to try to test all kinds of things that can go wrong in pinball machines. And, you know, I think it's helped, because once, you know, we've had a lot of success from day one. I mean, Andrew, you told me the story of the first time you put the code in a game a couple years ago, and you know, it started going into ball search, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, you didn't expect that to happen, but that's, you know, that's what pinball games do when they lose the ball. So we had a lot of this, you know, was just kind of automatically there from the beginning, and so that's allowed them to focus more on the mechanics and not so much on the rule side. That's something that I've, you know, taken a lot of the responsibilities for.
But the simulation has to stop someday, and you have to add this code into the playfield. So I started to build up a playfield with Roman next to me. With as you see on the right side, there, this is what we call the developer LEDs or switches. As you see, it's not a PCB, just small PCBs. And on the bottom side and on the top side, there's the complete play field, so even I can play in the rotisserie. And when the play field is finished, I implemented the code, and pretty much it was working as we expected to be working. So I was basically trigger lamp effects or video effects, or even started the game, and it just was working.
I think Giannis should get a lot of credit, too, for actually putting these playfields together. He's not just a software developer, but he spends a lot of hours actually doing all the mechanisms and changing out parts and so forth. He's got a lot of abilities. So the simulation definitely helped. That's a clear yes. And we continue to use that. So we want to talk a little bit about the rules in the game. We don't want to give away too much for you guys because we want you to go play the game and explore it and you know, see what you think about it. But we kind of wanted to talk about a few of the things. So version one was really just to get the playfield flipping, some basic lamp effects, making sure the scores count correctly and you don't get cheated. The dashboard is kind of what we consider the main score display. So during the game, when there's nothing else going on, you get a nice dashboard that shows you lots of different things, not just your score, but progress in various modes. So you can kind of see at a glance what's going on all at once. It's basic music and sound effects, and so that was... And when would you say that version 1 was available?
Ooh, it was a year ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. So a lot of these things have been in place for quite a while. In version 2, we started to try to... add some depth to the game. So, you know, the basics of the mechanisms were there and the flippability of the game. Then we added in kind of the basic rules. These are the core rules that you'll see when you play the game. The challenges and the race modes. So you'll see those if you get a chance to play the game. Challenges are you're basically just trying to make all the shots on the play field. And races are the time modes where you're trying to race in all of the countries around the world, and the faster you complete the shots, the more points you get. And then we added a skill shot. Which, do you want to talk about the skill shot?
The skill shot, I don't know whose idea it was. I think Dave's or Andrew's, and it gave us a hard time to make it real.
The skill shot, it kind of shows off the color effects right away, because we want people to see how glowing the game is and all the colors. So the skill shot cycles all the lamps through various colors, and you're trying to time your shot with the colors of the lamps. So then version 3, then we start adding more things. So these are things that, you know, as you become a better player at the game, you reach some of these other features. I don't want to say too much about these. I want you to play the game and see what they're all about, but... The game is full of multi-ball modes, frenzy modes, and something called Red Mist, which we'll keep a secret. It's pretty far down the line.
Yes.
Okay. and then most recently, the version 4, where we've added in some additional depth to the game. So mystery awards, which kind of help help players who are not scoring as well to maybe get more features on the playfield going. And open up other features of the game. Challenges, stackability, so that you can actually run more things at the same time. That makes for a more interesting game. And more points. And more points, yes. And then combo shots, because the game really, you'll see that it's a flow game, and it moves super fast, and it just lends itself to combos. So, you know, it's kind of been the evolution of the game. We've rewritten rules. I will say that's one part of the process for me, which was the most interesting, was you think you understand what you're doing and what you've written, and this is going to be fun, and then you actually sit down and you play the game, and you realize that, that really wasn't what I thought it was going to be, or this other thing is more interesting. So we made a lot of adjustments and it's hard to do that sometimes as a developer, because you put a lot of time into something and you think you're done, but if it's not fun, then you've got to do it again. So we've worked really hard.
Yes, and I would like to also say that we are always open to the world for Pinside and Martin, who's sitting in the front, and he came to visit us and give us feedback, because Brian is a very good competition player, and I pretty much love the rules in a pinball, so we may sometime miss the fun. We just focusing on our strategy, how we approach a pinball machine, and also Nick Marshall, top-rated UK player, came to visit us and give us feedback what we should change. This is when the Stackable Challenges came on board, and the Mystery Award is an interesting story about the UK pinball party. I just saw that the ball go to the scoop many times and it just gives no award, do nothing, just go in, kick out, nothing happened. So we have to do something with it. Also, the front mystery, what I was talking about, what is going the scoop, it's just small awards, but we have the normal mystery awards, what is from the back, but you will see when you play the game, and this is a very difficult shot to make. So.
Indeed. Okay, well, I think that's enough on the rules. I'll be around. If you guys have a chance to play the game tonight, I'll be available, and if you have any questions about it, please feel free to ask. I'm going to hand it over to Roman Fontaine, who's our electronics engineer, to talk about some of the mechanics and all the work that he's been doing.
Thank you, Brian. So first, I came on board at Highway Pinball about 18 months ago as electronic engineer. My first tasks was to work on the electronic system and to develop a complete electronic system and a platform to run our pinball machine. There have been a lot of reasons for that. I'm coming to them in a minute. And 6 months ago, after 1 year, I moved to technical director in the company. And I'm now in charge of not only the electronic, but also everything related to how to bring the machine to life. So the electronics, of course, the implementation of the software in the CPU, all the technical decisions, the way we see the power supply with the electronic being positioned into the machine, and also mechanical developments about the mechanisms, of course, but also the way the playfield would sit in the cabinet, the design of the cabinet itself, all the technical aspects of the machine. Our electronics is custom made by us. There have been a lot of platforms which are working very well, but they didn't quite answer what we really wanted to have in our machine, which was mainly a modular and a scalable architecture. Our game are modular by nature, and so must be the electronics. It is a decentralized system, so you won't find the big driver boards you used to find in the pinball machines. Instead, we have a very small, a very simplified and condensed version of the driver board, which is this board you can see here. We call it in internal the I/O board. That board is able to control up to 8 solenoids, independent solenoids, up to 24 direct switches inputs, and about 50 or 60 RGB LEDs. The playfield, the way it is sitting in the machine, doesn't have a big wiring harness coming from the back, as it's usually the case. The power in the machine only relies on 2 power supplies. I repeat, only 2, 12 volt and 70 volt. That's it. That's all we need. The half mile of wiring has brought down to 60 meters at the moment. All the playfield PCBs that, because the one only one I/O board can handle such a small part, so full throttle is based on 3 I/O boards, which are handling the RGB LEDs, the magnetic switches, and also the signal routing for the underplayfield PCB that I will show just in a second. And at the back of the playfield, we have only 3 connectors, which are basically the power supply, 1 USB connector for the data, and the HDMI cable for the screen. That's it. So by design, the machine is modular, and by design, it is very, very easy to change a playfield to any other machine and games we could make in the future. That's when we received the board just after, a few months after we had made the very first playfield we've talked about. So instead of having independent PCBs everywhere under the playfield, we have grouped both the LEDs and the switches on big PCBs, and those PCBs are then interconnected to the I/O board. And this is a clear picture on how the wiring looks like at the moment in our machine. So you have the I/O board at the bottom right on the picture with the cables going down the I/O board, and then every single PCB has just a couple of connectors for the power and the signal to the switches and the LEDs. And of course, the screen is sitting in the middle between the slingshot. We have custom and innovative designs. All our switches, the underplay field switches, are inductive switches, contactless. So we don't have the holes through the playfield with wire sticking out. The switch is entirely hidden under the playfield. That brings a very high reliability for all the switches. They can't get dirty. They can't get snapped or broken with the ball. They're completely protected. They are replaceable. The RGB LEDs are also replaceable. The electronic stand-up targets allows us to have light effect in the stand-up targets themselves. And the jet bumper and flusher and the flashers have also RGB LEDs. So that's the small board we have designed for the different aspect, the different features in the game. So you can see the stand-up target on the left with the LED and the push button. On the right, you have the jet bumper and the flusher LED board. And at the bottom left, the inductive switch. Now I'm going to give back the microphone to Andrew for our big announcement today.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. So just before we go into this, I just want to tell you just a couple of extra things as to where we are and where we've come today. It's been a long process. It's been approximately a 2.5-year job to get to where we are today. But we're very serious about our intentions for the market and trying to make pinball a mainstream activity again. And we could have done things a lot simpler, to be honest. We could have taken an off-the-shelf driving package, hardware package, and we could have taken an off-the-shelf software package, and we could have used just bog-standard mechanisms that are available on the market today, and we probably would have had Full Throttle to market 6 to 12 months ago. We went round a very different route, and we redesigned pinball from the ground up, and a lot of what you've seen here has taken a massive amount of development time in order to get right. So, I mean, what you have here is something which has basically, even though the software started off as 3WPC software, as Brian has said, you know, it's absolutely nothing now like it was when Brian started off. It's been tailored to something which can basically be expandable and last and be commercially reliable for many, many games to come. So for this reason, and the reason why, as I'm sure a lot of you know, that our games are modular, which means that if you buy a standard edition version of our game, which is what this is down here, then when we release a new games title, it's a game upgrade, which is not quite 50%, but you know, it's almost 50% of the price of a new game, which means that once you've actually invested in the game as it is, then to be able to buy new games becomes a lot more economical. So that's the case for collectors, but also very attractive for operators too, because as well, it means that operators don't have to shift huge 120-kilo cabinets between sites. They can just basically take a game unit in a box, which is approximately a third of the weight, and can be changed into an existing cabinet in only 10 to 15 minutes. So for this reason, we have a very aggressive strategy of game development for the future. So yes, it's taken us 2.5 years to get a game here we can show you, which is almost fully working. But a lot of the hard work has gone into getting this in a state, really, where we have this system, this modular system, where we can keep upgrading these games, because we need to have a steady flow of titles coming in. So when I said at my seminar last year we had 3 to 4 games in development, that was the case. And at this point, at the moment, we have a selection of 6 tables in various different states of development, of which 3 of them are licensed and 3 of them are unlicensed. And we can basically call up different tables and speed up development of different tables whenever we would require it. So the particular what I can tell you, by the way, is Game 2, which we're going to announce shortly, is a licensed game, and Games 3 and 4 are also licensed games, and Game 5 is planned to be an unlicensed game, and I won't reveal anything about Game 6 at the moment. But you know, a lot of people thinking, well, yes, running before we can walk. But you know, now we're up to the state we are with this now. We're very confident that now we've got all the hardware and infrastructure and software in place, then it actually speeds up our development and we can get our product to the market much quicker. So we're planning our second game as an April 2015 release. Just before we announce it, Martin, is it possible in a second, please, to turn the lights down? So we actually, when Dennis was sat down here with us a year ago. We just literally just started development at that point. We're at a stage now, we're ready to build the Whitewood. We're quite advanced in certain aspects of game development. In other aspects, we're still working on that. But from this point, really now that we have stability here in what we've got, hardware and software-wise, our development is going to speed up significantly. So we're very confident that we're going to be able to reach our targeted release date next year. Okay, so this is exclusive to Pinside here, and we're very, very proud to announce our second game to you now. Thank you very much. I'm guessing maybe there was a little bit of excitement there about the title. Well, I mean, we're very, very proud to release this to you. I have to say, I am an absolute massive Alien fan myself, and I know many, many people are. And what we have developed here, and what we're going to be releasing early next year, is a game which is very much based on the first two films. So there'll be aspects of Alien in there. There'll be aspects of Aliens as well. So there'll be lots of adventures to live through, and really from the time that I knew that we were going to be doing this license, I wanted to really have somebody who is who's linked with some of the greatest pinball games in history, and from the word go, when I first started talking to Dennis about this, Dennis was also a massive Alien fan as well, and it really wasn't a hard sell. You know, Dennis was really interested in the theme and had some great ideas from the word go, and things sort of started moving on from there. So what I'd like to do, I'm going to hand you over to Dennis now. Dennis is going to talk a little bit about the game, then I'm going to tell you a few more details about it, and then we're going to have a brief Q&A session, and then start giving away some goodies to you all. So Dennis, I'd like to hand over to you.
Thank you, Andrew. Can you hear me? So when Andrew came to me and asked me if I'd like to design a pinball game for him, I said yeah, sure, because all I'm doing now is building dollhouses. So I was really happy that he came to me, and he told me of a few licenses that he had available. He said, well, we've got Alien, and then we've got this one, and we've got that. I said, Andrew, stop. I want Alien, and because I was really excited about doing that theme. The play field is we don't have a drawing we're going to show because of Fox, the licensor. We can't show the drawing yet. But it's okay. I got it in my back pocket. But like I try to do with all my games, I tried to do something unique with the playfield. I don't like to repeat myself because, to me, it's more challenging. And then if it works, it's more rewarding to try to do something new and different all the time. So this, I think it's, no, I did another game. This game has four flippers, but just like one main level playfield. So it's the first time I've done a game like that. I know Blackwater had four flippers, but it was on a second level. And it's got a lot of ramps. It's a wide body game. It has a lot of flow, like Demolition Man had, and some unique new toys. But what I'm trying to do is, a lot of my games, I like to have humor in the games, and this is going to be my very first game without any humor. I'm going to try to create a lot of terror, just like they did in the movie Alien when I first went to see it. In fact, when I first went to see it, we saw, of course, it came out after Star Wars, and I loved the Star Wars movie. I took my daughter to see Star Wars, and she loved it. And when Alien came out, I said, come on, let's go see another sci-fi movie. She was 7 years old. She was terrorized through the whole movie, the poor girl. I guess I've got some Nordmanite toys that I like to do little sketch models to just to get the dimensions right and to see how things fit within the game. So in my little Trader Joe's sack here, I have a couple of things. So, of course, I did my research. When I did Whitewater, I actually had to go to the library to do research, if you remember libraries. But now there's so much information on the internet, it makes it easy and fun. So, of course, I watched the movies several times and searched the internet for alien toys and things. And I became interested in the space jockey. That was an iconic portion of the movie. And I realized that he actually could rotate on whatever it was he was sitting on. So another thing I like to try to do is when the ball drains, either on the right side or the left side, I like to try to give the player some other little feature so that if the ball drains, he feels like he's still got a chance at doing something else. So this is probably hard for you to see, but this is a little, this is the exact scale it would be in the game, a little model of, and of course it would be sculpted, just made out of flat cardboard and paper. This will be at the bottom left hand of the game. If you remember Pirates, I was going to put a pop bumper on the left out lane. This will occupy the same space, but since it rotates, as the ball comes down the out lane, it can fall into any one of these pockets before it exits, and so there'll be different awards. And of course, you want to try to get this thing rotated so you get big awards, because there'll be there's 6 awards on here. There'll be a good award next to an okay award. So when you drain, you'll still have some cool stuff to do, perhaps. And the main toy is an airlock, and this will sit at about the butyrate level. There'll be targets under it. The airlock will take you to different modes and different places in the game and different places on the ship, different features. Like we're going to have, a tunnel hunt feature. And this will light up on the inside. This is just, it's not what it's going to look like. It's just pictures I find on the internet that I cut out to help make it look cool. So when the time comes and you qualify, that's when it'll rotate and you can be attacked by the alien. Then your job is to try to kill the alien. He'll be three-dimensional sculpted. He's going to jump around and scream and yell, and he'll light up. And then it'll go back to the airlock, and then you may have to attack an alien again. As you get further along in the game, then it'll rotate this way, and you'll have to battle the alien queen. And she'll light up and be animated. And I think that's about all I can tell you now.
Fantastic.
Can they come up and look at these if they want to?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, we're going to have a lot of features in the game. As I say, the tunnel hunt, where you've got to go through the tunnels and search for the alien. There'll be self-destruct sequence. You've got to try to exify the shuttlecraft. You know, all the best parts, really, from the first two movies. We want the player to be able to actually live all of these moments from the first and the second films. So, we're very excited about being able to announce this today. And, obviously, over the coming months, we'll be releasing more and more information, playfield shots, artwork, and so on, revealing as we get closer and closer to having a game ready for you all to play. So that kind of concludes where we are today. Thank you very much, Dennis, and thank you everybody for speaking. We'd like to sort of open up to the floor. We've got a few minutes still, and we'd like to open up to any questions and then sort of give you guys some giveaways before the next seminar starts. So do we have any questions over there?
Yes. You spoke about your system being monitored, so when you talk about that, that's basically a play field with wiring harness, bundles, quick disconnects in the back, so you can just take a play field and play field out, and then actually looks like your sidearm work and your translator module.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, basically, it's a 10 to 15-minute swap maximum. The playfield comes in its own crate when you buy this as a game add-on. There's only two connectors and a USB, which links the playfield to the rest of the cabinet. So literally, unplug it, that's it, out it comes, in the new one goes. The side light, the side trans lights and the back glass, or the back glass or the trans light area there, and the software on a USB stick. So it's 5 items to change. So it's 10 to 15 minutes for anybody who really doesn't have any experience. Hi.
So each of the boards is interconnected
to USB? USB, so a lot of our circuitry. The USBs, that transmits data around. So we are using USBs to transmit data. Was that the question? Was that the full question?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Hi there.
Will the licensed games also be available as kits?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, I mean, it's specifically aimed because we do limited editions, we do standard editions. Limited editions, as I said, play the same as standard editions, but they have a lot more bling, a lot more cabinet trim, for example. I mean, the Alien cabinet, which we're going to be using, is a black cabinet, black gloss cabinet, with that sort of, you know, fluorescent-y lime green trim on all of the metal parts. So it's a really nice trim on the LE. As I say, we've got 500 limited edition games. The standard editions are much easier to swap in and out of cabinets because the trim doesn't go and change on the standard ones, but it is still possible to put a standard into an LE or vice versa. We go live today because we appreciate this is going to be a popular title, especially in the collectors community. We are just doing 500 limited edition units, and our website has gone live now. We've given the announcement, and so we're starting taking pre-orders. And I just want to explain one thing, how we are approaching the whole thing about pre-orders, because it can be a bit of a sensitive subject in the pinball community. We don't believe in holding on to large amounts of people's money throughout the development phase while we're developing a game. So what we have for these 500 games is when somebody orders a game, which in the case of the USA is $1,500, which is reserves a game, we don't actually ask for any more money until we actually manufacture the game. So the exposure is actually minimal. But everything is fully refundable anyway, so anybody can drop out at any time if they go and book an LE number, and then someone else can take their place. So that's the way that we work. Do we have any other questions? Hi again. That's actually a very good question. Yes, there's absolutely no reason why we can't do that. So, yes, we will do that in the future, offering as a kit. So the question was, Full Throttle, can it also be a kit if you come in Alien first? But one of the reasons why we're announcing this now is because there are a lot of titles out there, and we believe that choice is one of the best things in pinball. And, you know, so we want to give people the opportunity. If they want to go for something like our game, then they can go and do that. Or if they want to go for something else, they have that choice as well. But yes, absolutely, Full Throttle can be changed into a cabinet and vice versa. So Full Throttle can be an add-on kit as well. Do you have any other...
If I just wanted to buy an Alien LE pinball machine, how many US dollars would it take?
The standard edition is $6,150 plus shipping. That's the standard edition, and that's from the US, so nobody has to pay for shipping from the UK. We have a base here which we ship to. We pay for it to be shipped here, so shipping is then just to wherever it goes in the USA or Canada. And as for the LE, the LE is $7,850, again, plus shipping for limited edition. So that's $6,150 for the standard edition and $7,850 for the limited edition.
Is there a major difference between the standard and the limited edition?
The only difference on the playfield is we have fibre optic wiring which goes on the ramps, which obviously adds much more lighting effects. There's a shaker motor, there's the different trim, there's obviously the game plaque that's going to be on there as well. We have a lot of there's a goodie bags as well. There's the I've said the shaker motor. I'm trying to remember if I've missed out. Say all of the trim, all the metalwork that you see there is different than on the limited edition version as well. So I think we've covered most points. But to anybody who's interested, all the details are on our website, so the differences between the two versions. But the versions basically play the same. Hi. Well, it is still, because the game is in development and is an ongoing process, but you know, we will be revealing at regular points along the way. So as our artwork comes in there, if we're able by our licensor to show some of the concept drawings, if we're allowed to show that, then we will show that process as well. We have some concept art at the moment, but you know, obviously because this is a licensed game, our licensor dictates when we can actually show things to the public. So it's not necessarily a case of... I mean, we actually had a lot more we wanted to show you today. We had mock-ups of the cabinets with artwork that were at a fairly advanced stage with. We even have actually a playable version of the game already on a digital platform, believe it or not, so we can actually see how the shots are working digitally. So we have a lot of things we wanted to show you today, but we're just showing you at the moment what we're permitted to. Do we have any other questions here at all? Okay, then. All right, well, it just remains for me to say thank you very much for coming to see us, and I hope you've enjoyed the seminar, and we're going to be, for the rest of the time the exhibition hall opens, we'll have Full Throttle there, and we'd really love it if you come up and play and give us your feedback. What we're going to do, because the next seminar is going to be starting shortly, I think we've probably got a couple of minutes, so... we'll finish up now, and if anybody wants to come forward, then we'll give some merchandise. But if we run out of time, then please come to the stand, and we'll give you some merchandise there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.